Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage, the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. Very large crowds spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Lift your heart to give him our thanks and praise.
You can raise up your palms for a blessing. It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed as King of Kings by those who spread their garments and branches of palm along his way. Let these branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in glory with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You may be seated for the children's choir. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one. Let us pray. Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly. I am the scorn of all my enemies, a disgrace to my neighbors, a dismay to my acquaintances. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
A reading from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. And Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner from the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you? Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who was called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that he had handed him over, that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with this innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him. And they took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others, cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Thank you. may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Famous NFL coach Vince Lombardi once said, "Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. If you can shrug off a loss, you can never be a winner." That's probably a great definition for how we define success as a culture. We have an idea of what it means to be successful. And many of us who are familiar with the story of Jesus would know that some had an expectation for the Messiah to be a political revolutionary of sorts. An expectation of winning that would have included dominating in a way the world defines not just success, but also power. Now, a major aspect of the God that we worship and follow that we're going to ponder throughout Holy Week is the vulnerability of Christ. That taking on our human form, Christ humbles himself and empties himself of his power to be in solidarity with us, to be joined to us, and for all of us to be reconciled back to God. Now, Jesus and Barabbas, in our gospel lesson, are accused of the same crime: sedition, insurrection, and treason. In Luke's gospel, we hear that Barabbas has directly challenged Roman rule. And as far as the Romans are concerned, Jesus being seen as king of the Jews is a threat to Caesar. And in Matthew's gospel, we have Barabbas referred to as Jesus Barabbas. So they have two Jesuses to choose from. Now, some of you might remember when our girls came into our home, they called me Abba, which means father, right? Barabbas means son of the father. So think about it here, what Matthew is saying. You have to choose between Jesus, son of the father, or Jesus, son of the father. Very two interesting choices. Which one do you want? Now, my critiques and condemnations of Christian nationalism is by no means new. Perhaps what we understand to be Christian nationalism today is as old as the passion itself. If we define winning by earthly success, by political capital, and worldly dominating power, we are not following the way of Jesus Christ. Do we want that? Or do we want the Jesus who is Son of the Father that shows us obedience even to the point of death, even death on the cross? The one who was in the form of God and emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave? Which one do we want? I mean, who can blame anyone in this world for wanting to choose Jesus Barabbas? But the way of Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Son of God, the Son of the Father that we worship, is inviting us to follow him all the way to the cross. And that way of the cross invites us to a life that is devoted to love and peace, not hate and violence. What looks like losing in this world is victory in Christ. In a week, we'll be singing, "This is the feast of victory for our God." But it won't be because Jesus leads a violent rebellion. But through the cross, we will sing, "For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign." And throughout the Gospels, there's resistance to the cross. What we're reminded of here at the Passion, it doesn't stop at the cross. As we heard those who were taunting Jesus on the cross say, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Does that question sound very similar formed from the temptations in the wilderness? If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. They're all mocking him. He He saved others. He can't save himself. Come down from here. The cross seems to everyone to be a testament to Jesus' failure. Don't be invested in anything he said and taught. Those who thought he was who he said he was are probably looking at it differently as they're pondering his crucifixion. Doesn't seem like he can save himself on that cross at all. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. How uncomfortable are we still with Christ crucified? There are many Christians that prefer only empty crosses. I've even seen images of like the resurrected Christ plastered on the cross. Some of them want to avoid the crucified image. Or like an image where Jesus is coming down from the cross, which would be heresy, but it sells, I guess. And like, you know, doves on his hand and things like that. We will often say Christ crucified and risen, but when Paul writes in his letters, he just says we preach Christ crucified, period. We want to avoid it. We don't like that part. We want to fast forward to the good part. But Jesus dying on the cross is more than just a prisoner swap. He dies because of our thirst to be gods ourselves. He's put to death because we need a scapegoat. He's put to death for our desire to have political capital that does not liberate but dominates. He's put to death because of our addiction to violence in order to secure power. He's put to death because we want to perpetuate injustice to maintain an oppressive status quo. But the way of the cross shows us how the power of love, forgiveness, and mercy can not only transform lives, but the whole world. In our lessons today, we not only see victory in the cross that has an impact on us individually, but a cosmic impact. That when Jesus is exalted, that his name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In Matthew's gospel, we hear that after Jesus breathed his last on the cross, that the moment where that moment the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, the earth shook, the rocks were split, and the tombs were open. The raising of those who have fallen asleep here may be interpreted as a foreshadowing and a culmination to the hope that we all have as Christians of what it will be like on the last day. But the cross is not just for one nation. It's even beyond all nations. It's the whole cosmos that experiences transformation through the love of Christ on the cross. Jesus does not succumb to the temptations on the cross, and thanks be to God for that. He does not need to prove himself to the standards and ways of this world. And it's when he's hanging lifeless on the cross that it's a centurion soldier that looks up to him and says, "Truly, this man is the Son of God. Truly, this man is the Son of the Father." It's on the cross. When faith gives us the ability to see and receive in realizing that winning isn't everything, but Jesus is everything. To see that culminate for us on the cross, that it would transform our lives and how we live and how we love and serve our neighbor. As we enter Holy Week, Jesus is going to show us the way of God, which is to love and to be loved. And what we receive and what we share gives to all people a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven and the hope that we have in the world to come. May we continue on this journey to the cross. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray to the for the church, the world, and all of creation. Save your church, O God. Enable us to boldly confess in every time and place that Jesus Christ is Lord. With the humility of a servant, equip congregations, synods, and other ministry settings to proclaim your extravagant love for all. Merciful God, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor, and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Merciful God, save your creation, O God. Every living being you have made has a purpose. Give us renewed appreciation of farm animals who labor in the fields, service animals who accompany their human companions, and beloved pets who live alongside us. Merciful God, save the peoples of the earth. O God, restore dignity to those who are scorned and persecuted for their religious beliefs or political activism, and deliver them from the hand of their enemies. Bring peace to places where conflict runs deep. Merciful God, for all victims of violence, especially gun violence, and for all impacted by the shooting at Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee, turn our hearts and minds from evil and idolatry and towards you and our neighbors, especially children in our communities. Merciful God, save those who cry to you in any need, O God. Watch over all who are incarcerated or awaiting trial, and stand with those who are unjustly accused. Be present with those feeling isolated, lonely, or fearful, especially Charlie, the family of Pam, the family of Janice Kurtz, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Scott and Connie, Donna, Joellen, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, Dixon, Pat and Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Marcus, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, John, the family of Michelle Shazer, Kelly, Carol, and our homebound. Merciful God, save us in your love, O God. Guide the work of church musicians, pastors, choirs, assisting ministers, acolytes, and all who assist in worship. Sustain them in their leadership as they accompany congregations through this Holy Week. Merciful God, save us at the last, O God. We give you thanks for your saints of old who embodied your servant love. As you came to their aid, so deliver us in times of trial, that every knee would bend in praise to you. Merciful God,
we lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. You may share with one another a sign.
God our provider. You have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise you for your spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Your kingdom, and it will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward our communion assistants and anyone participating in Children's Church this morning. Distribution of the sacrament will be kneeling around the altar. Ushers will release you forward, and you'll just gather around the altar, and we will distribute the sacrament by method of intinction. You'll get a consecrated host, and you'll dip it into either the chalice of consecrated wine or grape juice, whichever is your preference. And I've said this throughout Lent, if for some reason I got plenty of hosts. So if you make a mistake and receive before you get to dip, we got plenty here. So that's not a problem. All are welcome to receive. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers them to you. Who's doing children's church today? Who's doing children's church today? You doing children's church? The body of Christ given for you. 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 If you want to dip it in the wine, he's coming there with that, okay? The body of Christ given for you. You just hold on to that. You just dip it in there. No receive? Nope. May the Lord bless you and keep you and bring you to everlasting life. May the Lord bless you and keep you and bring you to everlasting life. The body of Christ given. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Announcements for the good of the community, it looks like.
I would just like to remind everyone that today, April 2nd, is the due date for Stephen Minister applications for the next class of Stephen Ministers. If you have any questions about the program, the carrying out of the program, anything about the program, please see either Scott Blackford, myself, or Pastor. We do have a little cubbyhole mailbox in the church office for if you do want to submit your application. So with that, have a blessed day.
I'd like to invite those who are bringing communion to our homebound. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who are sent forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are homebound. Your loving care, nourish and strengthen those who will receive the sacrament, and give us all the comfort of your abiding presence through the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Linda has an announcement too. As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us.
St. John, Lutheran Church, and Paul, is the servant of the word, strengthened in the sacraments, sent into the community to share the love of Jesus.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.